In the book of 2 Thessalonians, the apostle had heard about a disturbance that had arisen in Thessalonica regarding misunderstandings about the coming of our Lord. And I desire to follow in his wake and follow his precedent by addressing an issue that has taken place in our day. In fact, you may have experienced big billboards on U.S. 31 speaking of May 21, 2011, as the certain coming of our Lord in judgment. You may have at the Tulip Festival encountered a booth or evangelist handing out various tracts that were communicating that very certainty of the coming of the Lord. Judgment Day is approaching fast, so says Family Radio. The world as we know it will end May 21, at least according to the now ubiquitous prophecy posted on more than 5,000 billboards, posters, flyers, and digital bus displays across the country. Family Radio, based in Oakland, California, is a nonprofit evangelical Christian group that has declared May 21, 2011 as the day of Armageddon. It has been funding the campaign to spread the word throughout the world. It calls it Project Caravan. Tom Evans is a spokesman for Family Radio, said the doomsday date is based on a complicated reading of the Bible and calculations that stem from the 7,000-year anniversary of the flood. You know how Sherlock Holmes arrives at whodunit? It is really a process of elimination and bits and pieces of information to arrive at the May 21 date and then confirming the date by testing it against everything else the Bible says, he said. In Ezekiel chapter 33, God tells believers that when the sword of judgment comes, the watchman and believer is to blow a trumpet to tell the world, and that's the very thing that they claim they are doing. You could hit the lights for us, Vince. I want to give a video that will display what is being proclaimed throughout the country, even throughout the world.
Ezekiel chapter 33, God said, I have made you a watchman, and every true believer is a watchman. And if you see the enemy coming, and you do not warn the people, then you will be guilty of their death.
We are living in a time of history like no other. We are living right at the very end of time. And we are that last generation. People don't want to admit that. People try to suppress that information or ignore that information. But the fact remains that every time that God has brought judgment on the earth, he has always warned the believers.
That you're a some people might wonder, well, how can Judgment Day be May 21, 2011, and look at the world, everything's just going on like normal. Everything's continuing on. People don't look afraid. People don't look concerned. They don't look worried. People are still planning their education, planning their future careers, planning marriages, planning to buy a house, planning for retirement. All that's still going on because the world's in darkness. It's a simple reason, but it's the true reason. The world is blind and cannot see these things, and it's not going to change. That's why it's going to come upon them suddenly. And you know what you will see if God does open your eyes? You'll see that we're at the very edge of the end of the world.
This is not an option. We have to say it again and again and again. May 21, 2011 is the day of judgment, the beginning of the day of judgment. It is the day that ends all gospel salvation activity. There be no more. It is the most important day by a billion times than any other day that this world has ever, ever known.
You hit the lights. By the way, that voice was not Mr. Rodenhouse. That's Harold Camping. Harold Camping, who was the chief proponent of this idea of Judgment Day coming on May 21. That is this coming Saturday, by the way. He has made this prophecy. In fact, Blake told me that he was caught driving behind one of those recreational vehicles with that statement on it, the big billboards, going 50 and a 55, so he had to go too slow, and he got to really concentrate on the message that was in front of him there. Any comments you would have just very, very briefly? Very briefly? Jeff.
Did not Earl Camping make this prophecy back in 1994 as well?
That's right. This is a deja vu. Okay. Because in 1994, well, he had a book. It was called a 1994 question mark he gave, and we'll talk about that a little later on. Three of you even mentioned this to me this week and gave me the idea of bringing this theme. I think it's very relevant to us. If you would turn to the Family Radio website, by the way, Harold Camping is the founder and chief speaker at Family Radio. If you turn to their website, I can give you information about what they declare regarding this coming. It says there, at this time in history, there is no valid biblical evidence or authority which indicates that we cannot know the precise day of judgment. The great amount of biblical signs and proofs absolutely guarantee that Judgment Day will begin on May 21st of this year. Questions. Who is Harold Camping? Well, Camping is the president of Family Radio. Graduated from Berkeley in 1942 with a degree in civil engineering. He's been a full-time volunteer since Family Radio's infancy and has never received compensation for his service. I can remember when I was in seminary and I was a special delivery mail carrier running late-night runs, I'd listen to Harold Camping on the radio. Because there was a day when Harold Camping gave good Calvinistic biblical teaching. Here's a case of a man who has stayed on the stage of ministry far too long. And those who were his advisors should have given him the cane and yanked him off. And may God give us all wisdom to ponder the implications of such a thing. Many men have stayed on the stage of ministry too long. What qualifies Mr. Camping to make this pronouncement, May 21, 2011? Well, he's a tireless student of the Bible. He spent hours and hours and years analyzing what the Bible says. This is, again, Family Radio's own information. How can Family Radio be so bold as to declare the date of Christ's return? Given the overwhelming biblical evidence, the Family Radio Board has made a determination to dedicate all available resources to proclaim the warning of May 21, 2011. God has prepared Family Radio for this important time in history. Given the population of the world, radio and internet are the perfect vehicles to deliver this warning. The media and the high-tech trumpet is being enlisted. What proof is there for the date of May 21? Well, this date is solely derived from the Bible. Mr. Camping saw God had placed in Scriptures many important signs and proofs. These proofs alert the believer that May 21 is the final destruction of the world. What signs will precede the day of judgment? Several spiritual signs, such as the moral breakdown of society, the reestablishment of the nation of Israel in 1948, the emergence of the gay pride movement, and the complete disregard of the Bible in all of society direct us to the conclusion that the end is very near. What is the timeline of history? The timeline of history is God's predetermined timetable for the unfolding of God's gospel program for this world. In other words, the length of time between the day God created the world in 11,013 B.C. Now, don't ask me how he got that date, how they did. The day he will destroy it in October 21 of 2011. See, the point is, on Saturday there's going to be a great destruction in the rapture, but then on October 21 of 2011 will be the final destruction. So they say. This is the culmination of 5 decades of intensive Bible study by Mr. Harold Camping. Just as wise men sought to see when young Jesus would come, so wise men will seek out and be able to discover, not by a star, but by the signs, when Jesus will come a second time. Just as God informed Noah about the coming of the flood, so God will inform his righteous people about the coming at the parousia. Now listen very carefully. What specifically will take place on May 21? Listen carefully. On May 21, 2 events will occur. These events could not be more opposite in nature. The one more wonderful than can be imagined, the other more horrible than can be imagined. A great earthquake will occur. The Bible describes it as such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. This earthquake will be so powerful it will throw open all graves. The remains of all the believers who have ever lived will be instantly transformed into glorified spiritual bodies to be forever with God. That's rising in the rapture. On the other hand, the bodies of all unsaved people will be thrown out upon the ground to be shamed. The inhabitants who survive this terrible earthquake will exist in a world of horror and chaos beyond description. Each day, people will die until October 21, 2011, when God will completely destroy this earth and its surviving inhabitants. So that's what they say will begin on the 21st of May, and will culminate 21st of October. What is Family Radio specifically doing to warn the world? Well, in 61 different languages, they're declaring the truth over the internet by way of billboards that Judgment Day is coming. While teams of volunteers carry literature concerning May 21 to many foreign countries. On top of this, teams of RV, recreational vehicle caravans, have been sent throughout the U.S. to deliver this great message. Why RV caravans? In September of 2010, Family Radio developed a plan to send out teams of caravans consisting of recreational vehicles. The caravans travel into towns and cities across the U.S., warning people of Judgment Day. Each member of the caravan project is a volunteer who has dedicated his or her life to warn people in the U.S., boldly proclaiming the very important message. If you could hit the lights again there, we have another video that we would like to display.
Four vans touring Redding and Chico with Judgment Day, May 21st, 2011, plastered on the sides of them. I had to find out more.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
That's the deadly serious message of this group from Family Radio based in Oakland. A four-van caravan has been making its way down the West Coast, stopping in Redding and Chico the past few days with a group of 10 believers. Spreading the word of the founder, Harold Camping, that by his biblical calculations, Judgment Day is next May 21st, with the destruction of the world to follow shortly after. They've been driving around shopping malls and other busy areas, stopping to hand out tracts. It begs the question, should I stop paying my mortgage, stop doing my car payments? Ultimately, it could lead all the way to, you know, anarchy. Like, who cares what you do if the world's going to end next May?
Continue paying your mortgage and your debt, your credit card bills, and be the example that God would have us to be as true believers.
And for the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
This was too much for a Giants fan to pass up. Does this mean that the Giants would be the World Series champions for eternity?
Well, the New York Giants, which is now the San Francisco Giants, will be the final world champions of baseball, yes.
So we got that going for us. This is hardly the first prediction of the end of the world. Of course, your hope might be that this isn't the last. If this doesn't happen, on May 22nd, 2011... if I call you on the phone, will you answer and say, whoops?
Well, that question has been asked many times, and I'm sure that we're not the first to get that question, because I'm quite positive that the same question was asked of Noah, and all those who asked that question perished for unbelief.
The group left Redding today for Sacramento.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens on May 22nd. All right, could Chico become the next hot?
Okay. So the question is Family Radio the only group declaring this message? They say no. There are many, many others, countless other Bible teachers and capable ministers who believe the end is near. What are the listeners of Family Radio to do to prepare for that day? Well, they say Jesus gives explicit commands to his people as to how they are to behave until he returns. Go and teach all the nations. Occupy till I come. And so that's what these caravan evangelists are doing. Will there be some sort of gathering before May 21, 2011? No. It says each person must be born again in order to be ready for Christ's return, to be ready to be caught up wherever they live. Jesus said in Matthew 24, in fact, turn to Matthew 24, please. We're going to be looking at that passage. Matthew 24, 40 to 41, there shall be two in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Well, what if May 21 ends and nothing occurs, which is the question that the newscaster asked the man. What if I call you on May 22 and will you say, oops, we made a mistake? The biblical evidence is too overwhelming and specific to be wrong. Christ's people can look with great confidence to this date because God promises his beloved that he will not let the day come upon them as a thief in the night, quoting from 1 Thessalonians 5. God in his mercy has revealed the vital information needed to know this day, May 21, 011. It will occur because the Bible declares it. Anyone whom God has not saved will arrive at that day with no hope for salvation. God warns simply, the door will be shut. So what should we do if we are a person hearing this message? We need to cry out to God that he would have mercy on us, that he would save us for Jesus' sake. He goes on to ask, what are we to say about the day of the Lord coming as a thief in the night? They go on to say that we know it's May 21 because the Lord has divulged it to his people, just as to Noah. The flood didn't come as a thief in the night to Noah because he knew the date. He knew 7 days beforehand. And so he's telling his people beforehand, before this destruction comes, that we will be fully aware. The question is asked earlier. Jeff, I think it was you. Didn't Harold Camping say that the world would come to an end in 1994? This is how Family Radio answers that. In 1994, Mr. Camping did write a book entitled 1994 question mark. In that book, Mr. Camping highlighted the abundant evidence pointing to 94 as a probable year of Christ's return. Given the abundance of information pointing to 94 and the urgency of the time the book 1994 was written, Mr. Camping felt as a teacher that he must share this biblical information that he found to warn the world. But subsequent to that, he realized that he misunderstood Jesus' teaching in Matthew 24, verse 22, except those days be shortened. And so because of that, he moved it back to realize it will certainly be the year 2011 and May 21 of that year. Now let me just describe to you the calculations that he has ciphered together in order to come to this conclusion. It says, the day where the end of the world comes is almost here. By careful study of the word, listen now, we learned that in 4990 BC, that is before Christ, God brought the flood on the earth. If you want to take that on a notepad, just ponder how this works. 4990 BC, the flood came. Noah built the ark. The Holy Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. And then 7 days before the beginning, listen now, 7 days before the beginning of the flood that completely covered the entirety of the earth, Noah was warned that the flood would be coming. So 7 days before, he went into the safety of the ark. The Bible tells us on the 17th day of the second month of that year, God shut the door of the ark. Then the flood began to completely cover the earth. Now listen, about 5,000 years later, God wrote to his people in 2 Peter chapter 3 about the worldwide destruction by water in the days of Noah. In the same chapter, 2 Peter 3, he also warned that the time would come when the holy God would destroy the whole earth by fire. Our entire universe would forever be destroyed. In between these two declarations of world destruction, God made a very important statement, 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that, listen now, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as one day. God had written his holy Bible in Genesis 7:4, for yet 7 days before I will bring the destruction. And so what he's saying is, well, if 1,000 years are as a day, then really at 7,000, God was saying in 7,000 years from the time the flood came, because 1,000 years was a day, 2 Peter 3, so now May 21 is exactly 7,000 years after the coming of the flood in 4990. Do you have that? Do you see the terrible hermeneutic? I just taught hermeneutics in China. This is an abomination, what this man has done regarding the principles of biblical interpretation. He goes on to say, Genesis 7, 9 through 11, it came about that after the 7 days, the waters came upon the earth, Noah's life in the second month of the 17th day of the month. The ark that Noah built was the only place of safety, and so the only place of safety is in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter 3:8 says, the Holy God reminds us that one day is as 1,000 years. Therefore, with the correct understanding of the 7 days referring to the Genesis 7:4 passage, we can understand as 7,000 years. We learn that when God told Noah that there were 7 days to escape, 7,000 years from there, 7,000 years after 4990 BC, the year of the flood is 2011 AD in our calendar. 4990 plus 2011 equals 7,000, realizing there's a one-year difference because the year zero is a year that you have to add, zero AD. Okay? Remember, there's a guarantee on this. There is no doubt. Thus, the Holy God is showing us the words of 2 Peter 3:8. He wants us to know exactly 7,000 years after he destroyed the world, with the water in Noah's day, he plans on destroying the world at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazingly, May 21, 2011 is the 17th day of the second month of the biblical calendar of our day. Remember, the waters began on the 17th day, the second month, in the year 4990 BC. Let's give one more little video here. And this is Harold Camping talking with an individual who has real questions about this. It's not Mr. Rodenhaus.
Welcome to Open Forum.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hey, I just wanted to, I've been listening to you. I know there's a lot of people, older people, that have been to believe what you teach about the world ending on May 21st, 2011.
Hold on just a minute. I'll be right back with
you. Okay.
With the Open Forum, and we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question.
Teaching that the world will end on May the 21st, 2011, that there's quite a few people, older people and people like that, that have been taking their life savings out and sending it to your radio station. I was wondering if on May the 22nd, do they get a refund?
Well, the fact is, we don't ask anybody.
It's up to them.
Why
they want to do
excuse
it.
Me? What they are giving, we're not telling anybody what they are to give, and let each one make their own decisions on those matters. But thank
Can
you.
Can I say something else?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to say that you don't want to trick anybody, so on May the 22nd, they should get their money back. It's up to them if they want to give
Excuse me. May 22nd will be judgment, the second day of Judgment Day. We don't know what's going to happen to Family Radio on that first day or to the banks or anybody else. We have no idea at all. But it's going to be horrible. It's going to be a horror story that we absolutely cannot conceive of. Millions of people will die on that day and every day thereafter. And this kind of conversation of what will we do the next day, that doesn't make, it's nonsense. It's utter nonsense because it is going to happen. This is what the Bible teaches. This is not something where, there's a tiny, 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 tiny chance it might happen. It is going to happen.
So you get the flavor of what's at stake with this prediction. So there I've given to you Harold Camping's prophecy regarding May 21. But now, secondly, let me bring to you a critique of Harold Camping's prophecy regarding May 21. And I have 3 points that I want to bring home. The first point is, beloved, we cannot know. We cannot know the day or the hour. You're in Matthew 24 still, I hope. Matthew 24 and verse 36. The Lord says, the Lord Jesus says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. We cannot know the day or the hour. Diligent students of the Scripture have long held that the date of Christ's return is not revealed and may not be discovered by His followers. Now, turn with me also to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Keep your finger there in Matthew 24. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it speaks of the day and how it will come upon some as a thief in the night, but not upon God's people, for it will not come upon them as a thief in the night. Notice what it says there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now concerning the times, verse 1, and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anyone to write to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of night, nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet, the hope of salvation. So the argument that they have brought in Family Radio is it won't come upon you as a thief in the night. But the point of the whole passage is that we're sons of the day, we're not to sleep. The point is, we're to always be awake. We don't know when the thief would be coming. But as it were, we're going to be waiting on the porch for him with a shotgun, as it were, hung over our knees, because we're ready. We're always ready. We don't sleep in darkness as the world does. We don't revel in wickedness and ungodliness. We don't swim and pillow our heads in falsehood. We live in the truth. We live as sons of light so that we're ready every day, every night, so that he won't come upon us and surprise us as a thief. We're not told the hour and the minute or even the day or the night he's going to come, but we're just told, be ready, so that we're not surprised and damaged by the coming. That is the theme of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Second, Jesus explicitly in Matthew 24 rejected the idea that his followers can know the date of his return. Turn there again, Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And notice what it says in verses 42 through 44. Well, let's start a little earlier there in verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah. For as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. And so shall it be with the coming of the Son of Man. Just by way of your own pondering, I can't unpack this completely. But by the way, when it refers to this phenomenon of being taken away, who is it that's taken away? It's the wicked who are taken away. Look at the next two verses, even ponder the implication. Then there shall be two men in the field, and one will be taken away and one will be left. I don't know that this is referring to the rapture and people actually being taken up. I know there may be controversy on this. But just think of the imagery that's being used here. Who is it who's going to be taken away? The imagery is, I just even read this week about one commentator who said, the imagery is the remnant of God's people remaining safe, but those who were taken away, exile into Babylon. This is the kind of prophetic imagery that's used, that judgment coming upon those who are taken away. Further, two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, and the other will be left. Just ponder the implications of that. I think they're moving on an incorrect assumption. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the household had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert, and he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, be ready too, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. The theme is ever ready, like it says in the batteries. Ever ready, not just ready on May 21. So that is the theme, beloved. We cannot know the day or the hour. Any comments on that? We can't know the day or the hour. We're always to be ready for that very reason. But by the way, just to comment, if it's 2011, May 21, beloved, that means that we have, what, 7 days we can be reckless? How dare we? The text says that we need to ever be ready because we don't know the day or the hour. I think it's a dangerous thing to ever say the end isn't even, in a sense, imminent in a today fashion. We'll speak more about that. But secondly, not only can we not know the day or the hour, secondly, beloved, we must be ready every day and every hour. We must be ready every day and every hour. Let me just read you some comments that Matthew Henry gives on this passage in Matthew 24, as we're told that we need to be on the alert, for we don't know which day the Lord is coming. For this reason, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour where you don't think. Matthew Henry says this, the duty required, watch and be ready. Watch, therefore. Note, it is the great duty and the interest of all Christ's disciples to watch, to be awake, to keep awake, that they may mind their business. As a sinful state or way is compared to sleep, senselessness, and inactivity, 1 Thess 5, so a gracious state or way is compared to watching and waking. We must watch for our Lord's coming to us in a particular, listen, he says, at our death. I mean, Bob ran the 25K. You could have been taken down at the 14-kilometer mark. In fact, you drove in your car. You could have been taken down at Douglas and River. As it were, we can be ushered to judgment at any time. Matthew Henry says, our own death causes us to be ready. This may be the day that ushers us before, that the Lord comes to get us. To watch implies not only to believe that our Lord will come, but to desire that he would come, to be often thinking of his coming and always looking for it, to be near and sure, though the time is uncertain. To watch for Christ's coming is to maintain that gracious temper and disposition of mind with which we should be willing that our Lord should come. Watching is supposed to be in the night, which is sleeping time. While we are in this world, it is night with us. And we must take pains that we might stay awake, to always be ready, like the virgins in Matthew 25, who are awake, to make sure that we have our advocate, the Lord Jesus, to be our friend. To make sure we have our certificate, like in Pilgrim's Progress. That we are truly born again. That we're children of God. That we're believing in the Savior who died for hell-deserving sinners like us. To make our calling and election sure. We do not know the day or the hour. Even Genesis 27:2, Henry says, Isaac says, "Behold, I do not know the day of my death." That's a situation we all are in. We may know that we have but a little time to live. Further, Proverbs 27:1, "Boast not of tomorrow. You know not what a day may bring forth." Luke 12:20, "You fool," to the rich man who packed his barns, "this very night the Lord has required your soul of you." Jesus said in Revelation 22, "Behold, I come quickly." We're always to stand on tiptoes, waiting for him. Not just May 21, on May 15, that's today. We need to be on tiptoes today, every day, regarding the Lord Jesus coming. And Family Radio is right. What should we do concerning the coming? We need to cry out to God for mercy. Don't boast of tomorrow. Don't wait till May 21. Cry out to God for mercy. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. What did we say to Harold Camping? We must be ready every day, Harold. Every single day. And the last point is, we can also see how the deceiver cultivates cynicism and disillusionment. You know, one of the best ways for the enemy, he works. Matthew 4, when he tempted the Lord Jesus, he used the scripture, didn't he? He used the scripture. He quoted the scripture to the Lord Jesus. And I believe that's what he's doing here. He's using Harold Camping, who is a man who has spoken the scriptures truly and wisely in decades gone by. And he's using him as a pawn in his hand. There's nothing worse than crying wolf. And that's what's going to happen, I fear. I don't know, maybe the Lord will come before. But the point is, May 22, I fear wolf. And all these scriptures that have, the Bible, which the Bible says is, and all the declaration and all the RVs and all the billboards that I fear are going to have to be taken down on May 22. People are going to scoff at Christianity and say, "Look at this, a bunch of fools," because the Word of God is misused. Blasphemers will scoff and they will mock, I fear, because of the misuse and the twisting of the scriptures. I believe Harold Camping is a false prophet. Deuteronomy 18:22 says, "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, and if a thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, and that prophet has spoken presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him." 1994, he blew his wad. And as a result, I think we have no reason to believe. We shouldn't be surprised, though. But there were also false prophets among the people, and there will also be false prophets, 2 Peter 2, among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of such the way of truth will be blasphemed. So those are my concerns, beloved. And that's my critique. Any comments you would have with the few minutes we have remaining? Randy.
Question. Did he ever establish how he got the 49-90 date of flood? Because most Bible scholars do not accept that date.
If I would have gone into the catacombs of his writing, I'm sure I could have discovered that. But I just believe it is biblically indefensible. And this idea of absolute certainty is absurd. Thank you, Randy. Luke.
Talking about absolute certainty, I notice on a lot of those signs that they had under the Bible guarantees it. And that's what really, that'll give a lot of people reason to scoff.
Scoffing and blaspheming the truth. This is my great concern. John.
I would suggest that it's the devil's whisper that tells us that somehow, you know, you've kept yourself pure in vain. You know, that somehow that the previous generations have been deceived. They've been ready. It hasn't come. So see, it's just not. And it says it will always continue as it. The world is what the world says. But let's be aware of that, because let's think about that thinking. Is that how we feel? Have we kept ourselves pure for that? Mm. And when will we ever be robbed? Will we ever look back and say, oh, shucks, we missed it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, has any generation, has any godly man died and stood before God and said, oh, rats, I kept myself pure for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's beware of that whisper that says, oh, it hasn't come, so you've missed the boat. That's warped. That's warped thinking.
Good thoughts. Good thoughts. Seth.
Do we know when he first published this date?
No, my impression is a couple, 3 years ago. But it may have been earlier than that, Seth.
Just interesting, when there's been quite a few mathematical models that people have put together and come up with dates and like that. What was fascinating to me is, as you work through, in their mind, as they think through this mathematical model, what happens when they come up with a date in the 1500s? They guess, oh, well, let's go back and read Jacob's model. And then what happens when they come up with a date that's 50,000 years in advance of now? They go back and rejig the model. It's almost like they've got to come up with a date that's in the next little short window to get their attention.
I'm glad. I have 4 pages here of failed predictions of the end of the world, historically speaking. And September 6, 1994, Harold Camping. 1989, Benny Hinn. September 11 of 1988, Edgar Wisner. Remember that? 88 Reasons Why He's Coming in 1988. June 21, 1982, Benjamin Cream. Goes back to the Watchtower Society, the Seventh-day Adventist. I have 100 of them. And like you say, well, we got to have something in our time. In our time. John.
I think there is a danger, though, that we can, and I think you've worked at expressing this, even for our children. I mean, we've seen this man throughout all of Tulip Time this week. And the danger is that we just don't even think about it. We just go, that's hocus pocus. You know, it's hard to be cynical. You know, tell my boys, you know, go ask him for his car on Friday. You know, see if he'll give you his car on Friday. Would he do it? Would he give you his house? But I thought, wow, wait a minute. I'm teaching my boys to
be cynical about the second coming.
Like, it's just not going to happen.
That's the danger of the enemy.
Danger.
But I'm not saying don't be concerned about May 21. I'm saying be concerned about May 15.
Amen.
And then May 16. And then May 17. Ken.
You know, ultimately, even this prophecy is in God's hands. You know, even though it's of man. And, you know, when you look at 2 Peter, it says, know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? I'm wondering if this is just, you know, going to add fuel to that mocking of Christ is never coming, you know, and preparing the world to be mockers, you know.
That's right. That's right. Well, our time is gone. May God bless it to our good. And just like those in Thessalonica who had the input of the apostle, just pondering the scriptures, may we be stabilized and may our swords be sharpened for the battle for May 15 and 16 and 17 and beyond. Kent, your brother started. Could you close?
Our Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend in your word and reflect on your return and the fact that we don't know the time and the hour. We do feel, Father, that it's drawing near when we see the wickedness abound around us. And Father, how we realize the need for each one of us to prepare our hearts and prepare them now. Lord, I pray that this event that's being promoted would not do much harm to your kingdom, but Father, that it would be used by people to start to question and to search the scriptures for themselves. And that, Father, as a result, much good could come from this. Father, may we use the opportunities around us to share our hope with those that we come in contact with. And we ask God to prepare our hearts for the service that follows. We ask these things in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen.